Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And on the line now, we have the mayor of Pensacola, D.C. Reeves, who is in his namesake. It's not really his namesake, because District of Columbia versus Darcy. But D.C. is in Washington, D.C. this morning on our behalf. D.C., welcome back to the show, sir.
I am. I'm here.
Okay. So you're there for, what are you there? Mayor conference? What are you there for?
Yeah, that and a little double dipping, as we always do up here. U.S. Conference of Mayors, the annual meeting, the winter meeting is here each year. So we've got that starting this morning. But also, we got priorities in Pensacola. So we have meetings with several federal agencies. The House, of course, is out, and there's been weather issues I got to experience firsthand. I got in. Got to the hotel room about 2:45 in the morning yesterday with all the delays through Atlanta and all that. I had three different airports I was landing at in the last 5 or 6 hours before I finally got here. So the less glamorous version of business travel, so to speak. But looking forward to those meetings. And those start, actually, I think, with the Department of Commerce today. I say I meet with them at 11:45 Eastern.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward to hearing what you accomplish while you're there. And as always, it's a good experience to be with the Council on Mayors. That's always good stuff. Let's start with probably the more awkward of the things that I want to talk with you about today, because I want to, you know, kind of hear your side of it. As you know, the ongoing conversation about feeding the seniors at Cobb Center and Council on Aging, you know, we talked to Josh Newby yesterday. He says it was a really bad employee that made his employees, two of them, feel like they could not really continue safely in that environment. That's why they withdrew their participation. We have heard indirectly that the seniors, I guess we heard from David Stafford yesterday that seniors are at least getting fed somehow or other right now. So that's good news. But anything you want to add to this? Because it's a very confusing situation. If the employee is as bad as Josh says they are, why haven't they been removed or moved or something? And if they're not that bad, then what's the truth of the story?
I think, and I caught some of that yesterday, this is the extent that I will take this conversation is, it's exactly as you said, there are two sides to every story. And also, you know, we have 900 employees, and to clarify, this particular person is a contract employee through an agency. This is not a direct full-time employee. Okay. That being said, you know, we have a duty and to do due diligence on, we can't just because a citizen or a great agency, like Council on Aging says a certain thing, doesn't mean that we can just react to that and then, terminate someone. We have due diligence to do. And I know that's something that we had requested. And you know, the bottom line is this: number one, everyone's getting fed, and this whole conversation started not prompted by the city. This was someone coming to a council meeting saying people aren't getting fed. So first and foremost, which I think should be the thing that we care the most about in the community, is the fact that if seniors want to get fed, they are getting fed.
Right.
Secondly, we don't want any consternation between a great agency, a nonprofit, and certainly we appreciate what they do. But we also, again, have a duty to track down and get to the bottom of and not get into just the he said, she said of these situations. So I know our team is looking into it, and I think we all want a harmonious solution. But the primary function of this entire discussion is being accomplished, and then we'll get into the secondary aspects of this. And hopefully, again, land on a harmonious solution. I know we all have much better things to do than to argue over, you know, who's hurt whose feelings and things like that, because there certainly is another side of the story that we're hearing. So, but nonetheless, we appreciate what Josh and his team do, and I appreciate what our team does at all these community centers. And so I think we all want the same thing here eventually. And hopefully we get it.
And honestly, you know, I probably wouldn't have even gotten involved in talking about this much on the air because as long as the seniors are getting fed, you know, the other stuff can work itself out. I just felt like largely the way the story had played out is that a very good organization, which I'm glad you say, because I mean, everybody I know in this, you, David, Amy Miller, Josh, his folks, like everybody's good people. They're all doing good stuff. We just have this thing, and I sometimes worry that we have stories about nonprofits in our area, and it makes people, you know, changes the way they get funding, and it changes what people perceive about them, and I want to make sure that you know, that kind of problem doesn't develop as well. So that's the only reason that I wanted to get into is just kind of get as much truth out there about it as we can. Switching gears a little bit, even though you are in D.C., it's big day at Triumph today. We've got at least two things, right? Part is the, I think ST is on there for the aircraft maintenance campus. And then also we've got the new Project MAVE, which is going to be what, 70 million-ish and 2,000 jobs if it comes through. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. A very big day. I know David Stafford and team are driving over. I think it's over in Tallahassee today. And so I'm here, they're there. And yeah, absolutely. One of the biggest triumph requests in history we feel very good about. We've worked very hard to get here. And we have an opportunity in the city of Pensacola to have actually one of the first, if not the first, stateside shipbuilding manufacturing initiative put on by this presidential administration. So, you know, we're at the forefront of that initiative of bringing shipbuilding back stateside. And we are in the city of Pensacola are at the forefront of that. And again, may end up being actually the first substantive initiative in the country under that effort. And we're super, super excited about that. Again, 2,000 jobs, average 80,000. It'd be the second largest employer in our city at the 2,000 mark. I believe Sacred Heart is number one. So again, very, very exciting project. And this is what we talk about when we say creating quality jobs in our community. We know the impact that can have. So we're super excited about this project for sure.
I love the idea. I love that we would be one of the first or the first shipbuilding initiative. As we know, that is a major problem for our country with the Navy right now. And, you know, the Trump administration is trying to work on this. One quick question about the Project MAVE. If it all comes to pass and we have 2,000 people working on this or working there, one question that's been raised, and I think it's not an unfair question, is you're going to put 2,000 people through that road to pass the fish house to the port? How's that going to work?
Yeah, throughout 24 hours in a day. No,
Fair.
Actually, the bigger question that I like people asking because we have anticipated it is, well, 2,000 people, where are they going to park?
Yep.
Well, one thing that we've looked at and we partnered with this supplier, the federal grants, all the things that we're looking at is a parking structure where at potentially at Comendencia, south of the Holiday Inn, which is what we've already talked about building for downtown anyway. So, you know, we like to seize opportunity when we can. And so we know that if you're going to have that many jobs on port, where that little parking lot isn't going to be able to suffice. And we'd rather not use the finite property behind the fence line to just put down an asphalt parking lot, right? I mean, right. That's a lot of space and real estate to eat on inside the fence. So we're looking at a potentially catwalk over the train tracks, and then maybe we get both a amenity for our city residents and our visitors, as well as an amenity that helps feed the second largest employer in the city.
And if the very, very expensive project of building fixed parking at what, 30,000-ish, 40,000-ish per space,
correct,
gets defrayed by a private company that's creating jobs, and in the process we get public parking, I like the way you're thinking. It sounds like a good problem-solving thing to me. The Bay Center study, I know you guys are still in the process of getting your sort of comprehensive analysis of the area around and how this is going to tie into everything else. You've heard the presentation. The council's not going to, or the commission isn't going to do anything just yet. But I wanted to get your thoughts on it. I have questions. The hotel seems essential, and that's not a guarantee. The parking is its own special problem because we're getting rid of spaces and we need to actually double spaces. And then there's the little thing having to do with the wraparound getting taken out and that the expense of that. But your thoughts, as you heard, you've heard all of this stuff, you're familiar. What do you think?
Well, first and foremost, progress is important. You know, we certainly know that this is going to be a long-term project, and it's something that's long overdue, certainly for the existing facility. And my opinion has not changed that that's got to be job number one, and number two is figuring out how to renovate the Bay Center. And I take every opportunity to tell every listener or citizen out there, I mentioned this with Walker also last week, that no, there is no scenario that the Bay Center is going to be knocked down. The bones are fine. If you do the $70, $80 million overhaul of the existing facility, you won't really even know that it was an existing facility. Yeah. It'll look that, there'll be significant differences to it, both inside and outside. And if you knock it down, it'd be like a $400 million project. So every engineer that we've ever talked to, zero of them believe that you would de-cleat the building and put a new one up like they're doing in Mobile, where they needed to do that. So just one myth-buster out there. People say, well, why don't they just knock it down? That's why. But I agree with you. One of the lingering issues is parking really isn't addressed in that, the amount of parking you need, and you hit the nail on the head, $40,000 of space. I mean, 2,000 spaces is $80 million technically, yeah. Or could be that much. So that ever since I looked at the first one of these, that was my question is, hey, we're losing all this parking. You know, you can't just toss a parking garage on there, you know, as a nominal expense. I mean, that would be as expensive as the ice rink would be or more, you know. And so I think we'd have to address that. But listen, I know what this, I mean, this is certainly kind of the here's everything on one plate. And then there's decisions to be made. So once we have our study back for the surrounding area at the end of February, mid to late February, I'm hoping for a joint meeting in March where we can kind of sift through that and find our direction forward.
Yeah, going to your very first comment, which was, you know, we've been talking about this forever. I thought it was sort of poignant that the CSL guy who spoke about the feasibility study, his very first comment was, you know, my first job in this industry in the 90s was to do a feasibility study on renovating the Bay Center. My God, that's but also, you know, the other thing, it's kind of I say this only a little bit of a joke, but in completely revamping the exterior of the Bay Center, I will say this, the one piece of opposition that you often have to progress in downtown is, well, you're going to destroy the historic look of it. Nobody's objecting to destroying the historic look of the Bay Center to bring up something new. So we'll take that.
Yes, that is very fair. Yeah, I've not heard that yet. Now, but remember, Andrew, we got a long way to go.
Fair enough.
Don't disqualify.
You know, people who don't like a thing will find a reason to not like a thing. No, you're right about that. Pensacola Police Chief, we were expecting an announcement. I think the expected announcement was going to be the week before I was on vacation, and then that didn't happen. And then last week it didn't happen. And now you're saying maybe next week. Can you, I don't know, because a lot of people took you at the, hey, it's going to be real quick. We're going to have a decision, and now it's taking time. And there's a lot of speculation about why. Can you explain why or what's going on?
Well, what I can say right now is two things that are pretty common sense obvious. Number one, obviously, it's an extremely difficult decision that involved many people throughout the process.
And yes.
So as you can imagine, that meant lots of phone calls and folks incoming and outgoing that got to be part of this process, whether it was the business community, the faith community, and everybody else. And, you know, these people dedicated half of their day to go meet with these three people, certainly. I want to do my best to get back to every one of them and get their insight. And that was the reason we did it. We didn't do this just for the sake of doing it. We wanted people in the business community, the faith community, at the police department to be able to ask questions that I wouldn't have asked, and right. And to get their insight about it. So that obviously took a couple days longer than we thought. And then, no, there is no, crazy reason why. It's because, I'm spending my week up here, and certainly, when that decision is being finalized and being made, I want to be in town. So I think it's really not anything more complex than that. So it is an extremely difficult decision. There's no doubt about it. Maybe the hardest I've had to make. But nonetheless, there will be the light at the end of the tunnel is that there will be a decision next week.
Okay. All right. Well, obviously it's a very momentous decision, whichever way you go. And I appreciate that it's a challenge to make, and it's really all on your shoulders right now. And so we'll look forward to hearing from you about that next week. There was one other thing I was just going to mention, and it went straight out of my head, 54, every once in a while that happens. We always like to end with a bit of a lightning round. And so, the questions I have for you now is, when you were growing up, did you have a dream car? And here I'm thinking about like a TV hero or a movie car that, most inspired you that you wanted to have.
No, it was probably one that was probably the Batmobile.
Okay. Which one?
I think of just the classic.
The 60s Adam West Batmobile?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because
exactly.
You're young enough where I would have thought maybe the tumbler from The Dark Knight would capture your attention. That's why I ask. So, okay.
It's the one when you were growing up where it shoots like plungers on a rope out of the thing. Yeah, there's no technology or anything.
The one when I was growing up. Oh, what a great shade. I love it. Blue or black ink or something else?
In this job, blue ink, because you got to sign things in blue ink. So I have 80% blue pens on my desk.
Very good. And when you go to the bank, are you a drive-through with a teller, drive-through with an ATM, walk-up ATM, go inside the lobby, or entirely online?
Ooh, man. I would say mostly online, and then if I can get it done at the ATM, I'm not antisocial or anything. I just is my quickest transaction. So, sorry to any tellers in there that I don't get to come in and greet. But the I'm online or talking to a robot somewhere.
It's pro-social. It's efficiency so that you can talk to more constituents, right? And me.
Get back out there. That's true. That's,
okay, very good. Right. All right, well, Mayor, safe travels back. I hope you don't have as much trouble getting back as you had getting up there, but do good work while you're there, and we'll look forward to all the things we're going to find out next week. Mayor DC Reeves, again, thank you so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.